Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was, I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
Coming to you live from our Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is our weekly conversation with NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Brought to you by Porter & York. Rare meat, well done. Visit PorterAndYork.com. Now with Ian Rappaport, here's Ian Furness.
It is the Ian Furness Show. I am your host, Christopher Kidd, joined by Mike Dugar of The Athletic. As we are filling in for the mayor, we are now joined by Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Our weekly visit with Ian Rappaport is brought to you by Porter & York. Porter & York premium meats cut to order, delivered to you fresh. Visit PorterAndYork.com today. Ian, how you doing?
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Man, we are doing good. Thanks again for taking the time to join us. How about that game last night, man? Did you really think that the Bucks were going to allow it to be covered? -7? Oh, we got that. No problem.
You know, it's funny. Like, although gambling has sort of come to the forefront and is so, I guess, important to our world and ecosystem now, yeah. I am such an, like, I don't gamble, and I'm such a novice as far as, like, knowing stuff. So I didn't realize what was going on until, like, really, like, probably a minute to go when everybody, like, started kind of freaking out on Twitter. And I'm like, what could be happening right now? And it was, of course, like, you know, is Tom Brady going to, you know, take it in? Are they going to cover? Whatever it is. So, it was weird because it had the feel of a game for the Bucks where they kind of could sleepwalk through it and still end up winning easily. And I guess that's basically what they ended up doing. You know, and for the Eagles, like, it's nice that they made a game of it, but it just never really felt like a game. And now they go on this little mini bye. They traded Zach Ertz. It's, you know, I know it's a transition year for the Eagles, but it's definitely kind of a weird one to me.
It is. You mentioned Zach Ertz, who was traded to the Arizona Cardinals. Gosh, the NFC West is stacked. Max Williams, the tight end for the Cardinals.
Max Williams.
He got banged up. How big was this acquisition for the Cardinals, and where do they rank on your tier? Well, where do they rank in the NFC West, in your opinion, now with this acquisition?
You know, I think this helps. I mean, you know, this is not Zach Ertz from 5 years ago. This is Zach Ertz, who's older, who, you know, probably doesn't quite move like he did last year. I think that's okay to say. It's not, you know, he went for a fifth-round pick and a backup player, so it's not like, you know, world-beating type stuff. But, you know, I would say it helps them become whole again because Max Williams was not a Pro Bowler, but he was an important part of their offense. He had become like sort of a safety valve for Kyler Murray, someone that Kyler really liked and felt was important. So now they get that in a veteran presence and a guy who's done it and been there and has won a Super Bowl, is a key part of it, is a good guy. I think it helps, you know, it helps. And, you know, if you're the Arizona Cardinals and, you know, you're kind of going for it, which is, I think, what they are this year, I mean, these are the kind of acquisitions that you make.
You know, the John Gruden news broke, what, that was Monday night, and since then we've had a chance to hear from all of Gruden's former, you know, peers and his head coaches across the league, from Brandon Staley to Pete Carroll to Tomlin to Jack Del Rio even. You know, what have you made of the response from the head coaches, you know, publicly on the John Gruden stuff, particularly the ones that have been kind of strong against John?
Well, I mean, you know, Del Rio's comments were interesting because obviously Gruden, you know, was clearly angling for the job when Del Rio was still employed. You know, so if I don't want to put words in Jack Del Rio's mouth, but if he still holds ill will to John Gruden for, you know, letting it be known that he would accept the job while Del Rio was still employed, like, from a human perspective, I can understand that, right? I mean, that actually makes sense. I think, you know, I haven't talked to one person who has said, you know, John Gruden deserves to still be the Raiders coach. Now, I think some people wonder about why those are the only emails leaked. Was this targeted? Who made this happen? I mean, there's a lot of questions about how the emails actually got out and why just those emails. But most of the people I've spoke with are I would say, pretty horrified and a lot of them offended, even if you're not, you know, someone who's in the groups that John Gruden offended. Chances are, if you wait around long enough, he probably would have gotten to you, too. You know, that's definitely not someone who deserves to be the leader of men, let alone the leader of a football team. So it does seem like the right conclusion was reached here.
One of the sentiments written about, talked about after John Gruden's emails became public is like, hey, this is not just a John thing. Like, a lot of people in the league, you know, talk like this. John felt comfortable sending those emails because someone on the other side was going to accept them, right? And that was Bruce in this case. With that,
who's also not a great pillar of humanity.
Right, yeah. Well, Washington football team is a little bit of a struggle just as an organization. But kind of knowing that, like, John's not a total outlier, and neither is Bruce, like, if we're all being frank here, what message do you think that John's resignation perhaps sends to other executives or coaches or assistants or whoever who may have said similar things, you know, in private?
Well, a couple of things there. First of all, you know, I don't know that that this is – I certainly don't think it's the majority. I know there are people in the NFL who think like this. But it seems like it's very few. Now, I'm also sort of weary of, I am media, and when people talk to me, a lot of times they talk how they want to be portrayed in the media because they see me as media, so it's not like I'm always getting 100% who people really are, and I know that. But it just doesn't seem like this is a pervasive view. It doesn't seem like this is prevalent in the NFL. There are people who think like this, but I don't think it's prevalent. And, you know, I think what it also does, unfortunately, is cause people to make sort of wide-ranging assumptions on this is what people in the NFL are like. Like, I don't think so. There's a lot of good people. There's a lot of people who are more progressive than even some of the general public. Because the locker room is kind of a melting pot. And if you're not someone who accepts, you know, I know there's one openly gay player now, but there's obviously been plenty of others in locker rooms who people didn't know about, except for their teammates, like, if you're not someone who respects people who look different from you or view things different from you or have different sexual orientation, like, you're not going to last very long in the NFL. That is something I really do believe.
Man, it's just so weird, the climate that we're in, and we're still dealing with situations like this. But I'm curious, Ian, with what we are seeing with Tad John Gruden, is everyone under panic right now? Is everyone thinking, oh, man, could I be next? Have you gotten word that there could be more coaches that are under fire with this news that have just broke?
I mean, no, nobody knows because nobody knows where these emails are coming from. I mean, chances are if you mail with Bruce Allen, like, you know, there's some, you might have a reason to worry because it might get out. I just don't know how or when or why. I'm sure there were some coaches, I'm sure there were some executives who sent some things to Bruce Allen knowing that those emails are sort of being weaponized right now, wondering, like, what did I say? And, you know, it is weird because it's email and there could be, you know, you could make sort of an off-color joke in there, but it doesn't read as a joke and it comes out and you're painted in one way or another. And that's unfortunate, but that's just, you know, that's just the unfortunate reality right now. And it sort of is what it is. And I'm curious to see where this goes as well.
It's almost like the reverse of, like, remember everyone who's ever had a cup of coffee with Sean McVay was getting a head coaching job there that one off season. Now it's about to be like, if you ever just even met Bruce Allen in passing, you better call your lawyer because right. The New York Times is coming for you in your emails.
I mean, that makes sense because this is, you know, this is what Bruce has been like for a long time. And I mean, this is the guy who thought the Washington football team culture was really good. You know, this is what he's been like. This is all in character. This all makes sense.
Now, in closing, am I allowed to call you Rap Sheet? Just curious. You know, I know it's my first day.
Call me whatever you want.
No, no, we're not doing that, but okay.
Whoa, easy there. Yeah, that's like crazy.
Pandora's box.
Yeah, of course. You know,
Rap Sheet.
You know, it's like when people are asking questions, like, well, I'm sorry to ask this. I'm like, you can ask. Like, this is your job. Yes, you can call me Rap Sheet.
Rap Sheet, man, we want to thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the day, man.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for my good friend, Dr. Jay Rudd at Aurora LASIK. and auroralasik.com. No more readers. How about that? For about 15 years, I've used reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange. I can tell you for a fact it's a life-changing and also something I wish I would have done years ago. You need to check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd. He is absolutely sensational. Get your consultation scheduled. That's auroralasik.com for your refractive lens exchange.